Welcome back to Rattler Stadium, everybody. It is senior night, the final home game of the year. The Rattlers taking on Yates tonight in this district 12-4A game. We're visiting with Coach Casey Dacus. This is the Gessner Heating and Air pregame show. Gessner Heating and Air, your comfort is our business. Coach, we come off a 9-7 defensive struggle in a very unique football game last week against Stafford on the road, a win for the Navasota Rattlers. And my goodness, as if weather hasn't played havoc with you all year long, very unique football game with two lightning delays. Sort of talk about the whole dynamic of that football game and how it worked out, especially with the weather delays and how you guys were able to overcome that and keep your focus and come away with a road win.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. It was a very unique night. Really a weird year all the way around with weather. It seems like every Friday night we're fighting lightning and rain and everything else. But, the other night in Stafford, no question, was a big weather night. I think at one time it was raining so hard that I didn't know if we were going to be able to continue playing in the rain. It was so hard. So I thought our kids did a really good job of handling it. You know, one of the things we stress and we talk about all the time is that it's the same conditions for both teams no matter what's happening. So really it comes down to how are we going to handle adversity? Are we going to be able to overcome it? Are we going to use it as a crutch and as an excuse? And I thought the other night, especially, we did a really good job of understanding that it's still us versus them. The conditions are a little bit different, but it's still about who handles it better. And I was really proud of our kids for kind of hanging on, if you will, playing hard in the second half, knowing that we had the lead and knowing that we just need to limit mistakes and continue to play sound defense and we'd be in good shape. So I was proud of that.
What do you do during those lightning delays? The first one, it's at halftime. I guess you're fixing to come out of the locker room, or maybe you already stepped out of the locker room, and I guess the officials come to you and say, well, you know, we got at least 30 minutes. We got a lightning delay here, and then another one comes. So what do you do during those times as far as just keeping the kids focused and ready?
We just broke up into small groups for the most part, into our position groups, and we had the kids take their shoulder pads off and kind of relax a little bit and try not to be uptight. And, you know, we just talked about the adjustments at halftime. That was the easy delay, was the halftime delay, because we were already in there. We'd already made some adjustments. And before, I think it was about halfway through the half when we got word that we had a 30-minute delay. So our guys were already in a relaxed mode. And I thought that really helped us out, honestly. It allowed us to kind of lock in a little bit more on the adjustments and talk about some changes that we needed to make on both sides of the ball. The second delay was a lot tougher because I think there was about 10 and a half minutes, something like that, left in the fourth quarter. And we'd been having some pretty good success in the third quarter, especially defensively. And so we were kind of wanting to stay out there and finish the game. And I was a little bit more concerned about the second delay. But once we got in the locker room and everybody kind of took their pads off and got with their position groups again and we continued to kind of work through some things, the time flew by. It seemed like at first it didn't, but then we got in there and got going and the time flew by. And before you know it, we're back out there trying to finish the game. So it almost acted as if we had a couple of different halftimes. But it was a good deal. I thought our kids handled it well. And we just try to make them comfortable in those situations and let them relax a little bit, you know, for a little bit of the time. And the rest of the time we kind of try to get them locked back in and get them focused on what they have to do to complete the job.
It was a game of field position a lot because either offensive mistakes or great defensive plays, and I'm talking about for both teams, was given the other team short fields to work with. And with as many short fields as there were, a 9-7 score just showed how great really both defenses played on both sides of the ball. But let's talk about the offense, because we're going to talk about the defense a lot because they played such a great game again for Navasota. But offensively, it was sort of both cases. The other defense playing well and shooting ourselves in the foot some.
Absolutely. We made tons of mistakes. And, you know, one thing we're real fortunate, you know, to have here in Navasota is a really good defense. And our kids know that. Our offensive kids know that. And so, you know, it got to the point there in the second half. After that first delay, we went back out in the third quarter and it started just pouring down rain. And it was a situation where all we talked about on the sideline the whole time we were out there was ball security, ball security, ball security. Don't turn it over. Don't give them a short field. And understand that if the other team, Stafford in this case, has to drive the distance against our defense the way they're playing, it's probably not going to happen. And so it was fortunate for us to be ahead 9-7. You know, it should have been more than that, honestly. In the first half, I think we got stuffed on a 1 yard line four straight times, and that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've worked on this week as far as trying to clean up our red zone situations and trying to be a little bit better there. Well, not a little bit better, a lot better there. We have to find a way to punch that in there. But, you know, I didn't hesitate to go for it in that situation because I knew our defense was playing well. And I like the idea that if we didn't get it, that we were going to pin them, you know, back them up pretty deep and our defense could, you know, possibly make a play, which they did the very first play they got back out there. there. So it all worked out for us. Offensively, it was by no means a pretty game, but it was just kind of one of those gritty games that we just kind of had to grind it out, for lack of a better way of saying it. And, you know, I don't think we threw it 10 times all night on purpose, you know, because we didn't want to make mistakes. We wanted them to have to earn everything they got. And we knew going in that their defense was probably the next best defense in our district besides ours. And so we knew it was going to be low scoring going in. The weather obviously contributed to that quite a bit too. And we're trying, honestly, to not make mistakes and to give our defense a chance to win the game.
Well, let's talk about the difference in the scoreboard, and it's that two-point safety. And when you do that, you talk about big number 33. My goodness. I mean, you described the scenario a minute ago. Y'all got stopped inside the five-yard line four times, but then they had the ball at their own one-yard line. And first play, Tyreek fights off his blocker, and boom, 2 yards deep in the end zone, he makes the tackle.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you got a defensive line like ours with Tyreek Houston and Tyron Preston and Jarek Beasley, and, you know, that could go on and on and on, but when you got those kind of athletes and those kind of difference makers up front, you don't worry about situations like that, because you know that, you know, even if you don't convert there and you don't score, which everybody obviously wants to, but you know if you don't, then you're making the other team have to go 99 yards, and against our front, you know, and especially in that situation, they're going to pin their ears back and see if they can't make a play. And I thought Tyreek was fantastic all night long. I think he had like four or five plays where he simply beat the, you know, the guard that was on top of him, and he was hitting guys, you know, 4 or 5 yards deep in the backfield. So I thought he was fantastic all night. I thought and honestly, our whole group was. Yeah. I think we had one busted play where they got about a 30-yard run for a touchdown. And if you take that away, I think their total yardage they had was 74 total yards or something like that. And so if you take that one 30-yard run away, they have less than 50 yards of offense on the entire night. So, you know, our defense was dominant. And honestly, it needs to be, you know, moving forward. I know we all strive to be dominant like that. But we have so many, you know, difference makers there that we need them to play well. And when they play well, that gives us a great chance.
I want to talk about three offensive plays, though, in the game. First off, you've been able to use Mark Martinez in the slot in that position right there all year long. Great blocker for you, but you call this play to where he slips off of his defender and gets wide open and gets the touchdown catch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny because we self-scout ourselves a lot, too, and so we know what we do, what our tendencies are in certain situations, and we know that every time Mark Martinez is in the game, you know, a lot of people believe we're going to run the ball no matter what. And so they start walking safeties down and playing them in the box and give us 8-man and 9-man fronts. And so we knew going into that game that you know, the way that a lot of teams have been playing is they've been walking their strong safety down and playing them over the top of Mark and moving the free safety more to the field with where our twin receivers are. And so we looked at that in the box in the game earlier, and we saw that that's how they're going to play us. When we came back to it, we expected that look, and we got it. And Zach did a good job of kind of standing in there because he had some guys bearing down on him pretty good on that play, and he just gave Mark a chance to make a play, and Mark did a great job of making a play. So that was obviously a big play in the game. It kind of swung the momentum. We were kind of scuffling there for a little bit offensively, and that kind of got us going a little bit before the rains came. So it was a big play, and Mark's, you know, he's gotten better all year. He's playing a position he's never played before, and he's comfortable. He does a good job blocking for us, and now if people see that he's a receiving threat, they'll have to, you know, decide how they want to play those looks that we give them, and they'll have to decide if they want to commit to stopping the run or they want to be more balanced, and then we can kind of take what they give us. So he's a big weapon for us, and moving forward we plan to use him that way.
Moving the chains was part of this game, just as far as keeping possession, and one big play, and it was closer to you than it was to us because it was right in front of you. But talk about the catch by LaDarren Thomas where he just sort of stole the ball away from the defender. What was it, like a simultaneous catch, and LaDarren won that battle? How did that work?
Pretty much. You know, we talk about it all the time as far as, you know, playmakers have to make plays, because as coaches, you can scheme all you want, but typically all you can get are literally one-on-ones, and you got to try to get your guys a chance to win one-on-ones. And in that case right there, the rain was coming down. They had 9 guys up there in the box because they knew we were trying to run it. And, you know, anytime we get LaDarren one-on-one, we like to take chances with that because he's such an explosive athlete. And honestly, he outfought the kid for the ball. The ball got there. They both had their hands on it, and he pretty much just took it away from him. And so I thought that was a real good sign, obviously, for us, just from a competitive spirit standpoint. Just when that happened, I knew we were in good shape because I knew the kids were really competing and really fighting. And that was a tremendous tremendous play by LeDarren. So without that, we're backed up inside the 20, right. And I think it would have been third down. I think that was a second down play, and we would have been in a third and long inside our own 20, which would have probably swung the field position back in their favor. So I think they got us about a 25-yard gain somewhere in there and got us out of the hole. And so even if we didn't convert, to points on that drive, we were at least flipping the field. And so we felt honestly really good about that.
Before we get to talking about Yates, I want to talk about one more offensive series, and that's right at the end of the ball game. Stafford makes the decision to give you back the ball late in the ball game. They're down by two. I was a little bit surprised by that they punted the ball to you instead of going for it and trying to keep possession. They were obviously hoping that their defense would come up, but you all didn't let them. You all kept the ball, you moved the chains, and you called on number two, Jay Jones, every time to keep the football. And then that last play of the game, as it turned out to be, to where he made that first down. That was a big series of runs by Jay, and great work by your offensive line.
Yeah, it really was, into a heavy box too. And everybody in the place knew that we were going to run the ball there, and I'm like you, I was surprised they punted it. I think they really believed that we might put somebody back and maybe muff a punt or something like that. And we made up our mind we were taking all the risk, all that stuff out of the equation at that point. And so we just kept our defense on the field. They punted it. I think we ran all our guys off the field as soon as they punted it, just so we couldn't do anything stupid and turn it over or get a penalty. And so when we got back out there on offense, we made up our mind also at that point that we were not going to punt the ball. We weren't going to risk snapping it. We weren't going to risk a punt block or anything like that in that situation. We had the ball around midfield, I believe it was. And so, it's just a deal where you get in that situation, you're going to rely on the guys, that are leaders for your team. And Jay Jones has been one of those guys for us all year long. And, he's a guy, honestly, if we put him at quarterback, he could probably play quarterback. If we put him at offensive line, he could play offensive line. He can do just about anything he wants to do because he's committed to doing whatever it takes for the team to be successful. And we stuck him back there and just said, Jay, just hold on to the football, just grind it out, pound it up in there. Let's get what we can get. Don't do anything crazy. Two hands on the ball. Get on the ground. Let's go to the next play. So I think we got down to about a third and about four or five, somewhere in there. And we told them that they had called their last time out. We said, okay, we're going to go for it no matter what. We're going to run the ball two straight times here if we don't get it on third down. And then we got a situation where we had to go for it. We'd already decided we weren't going to punt. We're going to risk it. So we just told the offensive line, just give us 5 yards. Somehow, let's get 5 yards. Let's win the game. Let's be done. And to their credit, the offensive line and to Jay's, they just kind of made it happen. And I was really happy for them because after such a tough game, just from a psychological standpoint for our offense, I thought that was a big lift, kind of at the end of the game, kind of securing the win, if you will. So I was really happy with them, really pleased with all those guys. And we're getting better. I know the score doesn't indicate it, but we're starting to do some things that we weren't doing early in the year that are starting show up on film that are going to help us down the road.
As we speak, Yates comes in with a 1-2 record in district play. What do you know about Yates? I know you were able to scout him last week against Wheatley.
Extremely athletic. They're a little different than some of the HISD schools in that they like to spread you out, and they will throw it. A lot of these HISD schools don't do that. They spread you out to run, but Yates is more of a spread you out to throw it group. Their quarterback is a pretty stocky kid, a pretty tough kid. Got a strong arm, and they try to get the ball to multiple receivers. They don't really have one guy that just stands out. They share it pretty good. Defensively, they're going to be all over the place. You're going to see a lot of pressure. They like to play a lot of man coverage. And so they're going to try to play their strengths, which is obviously their athleticism. And we got to be able to handle that from an offensive perspective. And defensively, we've got to be able to be gap sound on the run game while being able to defend the pass because, again, they like to throw the ball down the field. So we'll be ready. We've had a good week of practice. The rain, as we've already talked about a little bit earlier, it's been an interesting deal every week because I think it seems like one or two days a week we can't go out because of lightning or storms. And so we missed a day of practice this week, but we feel like we made it up on a couple other days, and so we feel pretty good about it. And we know our kids are ready to play. It's senior night, last game for a lot of these seniors in this stadium, and they'll be excited to play.
Coach, I'd like to visit with you about one of your seniors each week. There's a lot of them on your team, so we can't talk about all of them, but the guy who touches the ball first is your center, Anthony Pimentel, one of your seniors. Talk about him.
Anthony is a really good kid. We've really enjoyed getting to know him since we got here in March. And, last year he played sparingly, I think, mostly on the defensive line. He played, I think, defensive tackle more than he did anything else. And this year when we got here, we knew we had to find a center, and he volunteered to give it a try, and he's been real successful at it. He's been a pleasant surprise. Price. If you look at him, he looks a little bit like he's undersized a little bit for that position. But, you know, he's a real competitive guy. And honestly, on the offensive line, you know, that's what you want is five guys that just compete and just get after it. And he's done a really nice job there as far as that goes. And he's got some, you know, some big guys next to him that can help him out with some of that stuff. But he's a good kid. He's a multi-sport player. He plays baseball, too. I think that's probably his first love. And we're excited for what he's going to do this spring in baseball. But for right now, we need him to snap for about hopefully 5 or 6 more weeks, and we'll get a chance to keep playing a while. But Pim's a good kid and a good guy, and we've really enjoyed having him.
All right, senior night here at Rattler Stadium is Navasota taking on Yates tonight. This has been the pregame show with Coach Casey Dacus. We'll be back and get this one kicked off. This is brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Your comfort is our business. This is Navasota football on Willie 98.7.